Good evening and welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Sheila White, and I have a crew of really awesome people in the studio with me this evening. Doug Royston, who is rustling his papers right now, the visionary arts advocate for the community artists of the Lehigh Valley, and Ara Barlieb, the director, producer, founder, extraordinary man of Moneymaker, Make It Flow, of the Crowded Kitchen Players, who is also very involved with the Ice House Tonight series. And that's really what we're going to be talking about tonight, is the Ice House Tonight series and the efforts of the community artists of the Lehigh Valley to come together to support each other, to build audiences, to understand the cultural voice of the Lehigh Valley. Doug, let's talk about the Ice House tonight. How are things going over in that lovely venue?
Oh, we just had a great weekend last weekend. We had the Zine Fest in there, and we had local magician Joe Keppel, and then we had a benefit for the Bethlehem Public Library, all in there packed together over the last weekend. Yeah, the Ice House is moving along. We're up to maybe something like 25 partners now. 25 people have a small piece of the Ice House, and of course, the thing that makes it work is this relationship with the city of Bethlehem. This is kind of like a core need for any sustainable arts community, is that relationship with school district and with the educational district, that sort of thing, all put together. So that's where we're at.
Now, the relationship with the city, let's back up just a step or two. The Ice House building is an asset venue building owned by the city of Bethlehem. And so it's then managed by the city of Bethlehem under the Department of Recreation.
That's right.
And we have a new director of that department, Jody Evans.
Jody Evans, yes.
Let our listeners know about the venue itself. How is that different than other venues that artists use in the Lehigh Valley?
Well, I think what's really interesting is that how it works is that we have a tremendous relationship with the city, and we have a set of funding partners. Small arts grants that we get, collect them together, and basically we've created a situation where most of our artists, particularly one show artists, get the rental for free and they get the gate. And this is a sustainable situation that's based on, again, this relationship with the city and on a relationship with a series of financial help.
The venue itself, though, it's as more people become aware that it's a presenting venue for the community artists, from time to time, do you get requests to use the venue for different purposes or in other ideas?
It really is becoming a genuine cultural center in the sense that it not only deals with the arts, performing arts, but we're also engaged in a whole spectrum of local issues or national issues, actually, social justice issues, women's issues, environmental issues. They all have a kind of forum here at the Ice House. And that's really one of the most exciting parts, I think, about how the Ice House has evolved over the last 5 years.
We also have Ara Barlieb, who's the founder of the Crowded Kitchen Players. It's a local theater group in the Lehigh Valley. You've been presenting new works that you've written and other people have written at the Ice House. Can you tell our listeners, as a director or producer, the value of knowing that the Ice House is available for your work?
Well, the Ice House is particularly valuable because when we're doing new works, we're taking a real chance on being able to draw an audience for them. And when we present new works by other people, the same problem. The Ice House is accessible and affordable enough to be able to take chances for new works. Whereas if we were to rent one of the, you know, more elegant and more established venues in the region, the cost would demand that we do a more audience appealing type of show, or maybe something that has a reputation. So the Ice House really is a great place to introduce new works.
But the difference between the Ice House and one of the more premier venues is a couple of things that makes it real challenging sometimes for the arts organization. There's no staff. There's no production staff in the Ice House. You have to do a lot of this yourself.
The Ice House is like an indoor band shell.
Ah.
You know, there's so many beautiful parks all over the East Coast and in the little towns and villages, these band shells that have been abandoned for 70 years. The Ice House is an indoor version of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got nothing.
Oh, no, wait.
relative to what we're talking about, to one of the established venues, it's got nothing but what the people who are working together there are willing to put there.
Yes, there's no house production manager, manager.
The box office is where you put the table.
Yes.
You know, right. And the lighting grids are workable,
mm-hmm.
But they take cooperation, they take patience. They take collegiality, and there's something to that that adds to the production, I think, that you see there.
In what way?
You can't wait for anybody else to do anything. You have to really be hands-on. You have to be very, very attentive. Your mind cannot wander for a second. You load in, if you're lucky, a few hours before you play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard on a cast, but the cast has to be ready to hit the boards running. And there's something about that focus that I think is very exciting. It's like the old players would go town to town with their rep and the repertory works, and you get real exciting, real visceral experience.
I have a visionary right now in my head about that traveling actor group that you see in Shakespeare's plays all the time, you know, whether it's Midsummer Night's Dream or you're right. It's really up to the arts organization to bring everything. And in a way, do you feel that that impacts your organization just in terms of the connections between? I mean, the artists don't just show up and do their lines. They really have to be a full partner with what you're doing.
You have to really work hard to rehearse the thing in such a way that when you walk in the doors there and transpose it to that place, that it works. The actors have to be willing to load in and load out, that kind of thing. They can't just be performers. We've had actors who said, "Where's my dresser?" You know, they've worked with us once, you know. but the Ice House really demands that player attitude, which is, it's wonderful.
Where does the Crowder Kitchen Players rehearse before you get to the Ice House?
Traditionally, we've rehearsed in my partner Pamela's and co-founder Pamela's kitchen. That's how we started.
That's why Crowded Kitchen
Crowded
Players.
Kitchen yeah. Players. But we were always a road company. We started at the Mock Chunk Opera House. We worked at Theater Outlet 9th Street in Allentown when it was there for a few years. McCool's Arts and Events Place in Quakertown for 7 years. Ice House since 2002, off and on. So we've always been around church basements, all that stuff. But it makes for a tight company. But this place is not only great for us because we like working that way, but it's got to be a tremendous opportunity for new companies to come in and get their feet wet.
Well, and Doug, you had mentioned it before that the Ice House tonight is a community space for conversations about issues that impact our community. And ERA's productions, or the Crowded Kitchen Productions, has been doing work that is challenging domestic violence, child molestation. I mean, you've been really pulling out some cherry bombs of content to really explore these issues in an artistic way that gets us thinking. There's not just a happy ending here. There's a fully embodied program that gets the community to wake up, would you say?
That's really nice of you to say that. Yeah, that's what we strive for.
Yeah. So let's go back then to a point that you had mentioned about new plays or new theater groups to come to the Ice House. If there was a listener thinking about what they could do at the Ice House and they've come to a couple of shows to see the venue, see what other people are doing, what kind of experience would you share with them to say, you know, you've got to be ready for?
Well, the beauty of and the challenge of the Ice House is that you have to be prepared to do everything. From, you know, you have to hold the door open as your lumber's being carried in. You have to bring your saws and your hammers and screwdrivers. You have to bring your paintbrushes, literally. You have to do it in a hurry. You have to have a plan. You only have a few hours to set up. You have to have prearranged for whatever lighting needs you have. There are no set pieces there. There are no psychs, you know. The lighting board is something you're going to have to learn on the fly. It's all okay, as long as you pretend you never went to college and worked at a place where you had hundreds of people doing this stuff for you. I think it's got to be the greatest experience for somebody who really wants to do theater, not for fun. They want to do it as something they need to do. It's got to be a great experience.
Let's back up to the weekend that was, just last weekend. Doug, you had mentioned Zine Fest.
Yeah.
And it was a very similar situation for this organization. They had to bring in tables and do their own setups and cooperate with the layout on the main floor.
Yeah, there's this whole, I mean, or the term I think is organic. It's not just about materials. It's not just about lights. It's about knowing people. It's about bringing people together. It is the essence of what a small city culture actually is. It is this interaction of people and this business of addressing real concerns with the arts. And it's, again, an organic thing. It's a set of interactions between people and between materials and between ideas. Mm-hmm. And, can we just make a couple stages to do that? Yes, I think we can. That's what we're trying to do at the Ice House.
Okay. This is also a place for our listeners if they need a reference. This is a place where WDIY does their homebrew festivals, mm-hmm. and the Touchstone has done their fundraiser there in February. I believe PYT does a lot of their productions. They take a residence in there for 2 weeks. You know, this is really well used by lots of organizations. But when you're talking about the partnership with the city, the partnership is an understanding that you're working together to not only provide a space for our local artistic voices and community issues, but also it seems to be caregivers of the space and what it was intended to do when it was renovated.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it's a very professional give and take. We have really a good, strong set of rules and procedures that we maintain between the city and what we do. But there is an understanding that this place is expressing the city, I think that's vital in creating a relationship. And I think that's the basis of creating a true sustainable arts community, and that is. These are the arts of place, and the arts of place are partially supported by the city they come from.
Well, that's a great answer. Thank you, Doug. We are about to take a short break. When we come back to the Lehigh Valley Art Salon Show, we're going to be talking a little bit more about other arts groups that are in the Ice House and a new initiative that Doug is going to be launching called Cultural Placemaking. Stay tuned.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
We're back to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Sheila White, in the studio with Doug Royston and Ira Barley from Crowded Kitchen Players, and Doug Royston, who is leading the effort of the Cultural Placemaking and the Ice House Tonight series. We were talking a little bit with Ira before the break about what it takes to do productions in the Ice House. But what I think we need to make sure our listeners understand is how many other arts organizations are and artists are coming to the Ice House on a regular basis, or maybe once a year, once a month.
Yeah. We're up to about 25 different partners. We call them partners. There's between PYT and Celtic Classic and a few other organizations outside of the Ice House. There's some 200 shows happening at the Ice House every year, and I don't know how many workshops. So there is an interest in all of this to have the Ice House evolve as a model. My big goal in life is to someday see Easton having its own Ice House and Allentown with its own Ice House and the idea that a theater group can perform 1 week in Allentown, 1 week in Easton, and one week in Bethlehem, a valley tour. So back to the notion is that if we can create this extremely economical, extremely hands-on arts venue, why can't others?
And I understand that a number of the performances and activities that are in the Ice House are now listed in Fig magazine, Fig Bethlehem magazine, that's been doing a lot of support of the effort in the Ice House. So, for instance, I read a monthly program, the Tuesday Muse.
Right. Yeah, that's a really interesting evolution going on. The Ice House tonight began almost solely with weekend shows. And now we've become programmatic. We have once a month, we have jazz with Tony Garrow and Mike Lorenz. They're from Moravian. We have once a month a poetry workshop group that's led by Cleveland Wall. We're looking at several others in the near future, so that basically what we're doing is building up the incidence of use in the Ice House and how it is really part of the fabric of everyday life for artists and for, you know, the arts audience in Bethlehem and the Lehigh Valley.
And that leads into this cultural placemaking endeavor that you've been working on now for 5 years.
Yeah.
And you're about to throw it out to the world.
Right,
this is a good preview conversation.
Yeah, preview
about
conversation.
What this is. What have you been working on in your mad lab?
Okay. The nice thing about Bethlehem is that it is a size in which you can pretty much know all of the performing artists and a lot of the visual artists in one place, and get a real sense of what it means for people to integrate, to know each other, to share, to help each other. In other words, a pretty good idea of what a sustainable arts community really is. And right now, as we think about the arts, it's almost like any art you want to put in the basket is belongs in the same basket. But the notion between cultural placemaking is that actually we need to separate the different kinds of arts. We need to separate the academic. We need to separate the commercial. We need to separate the nonprofit entertainment from those organizations that are really simply doing the work of society, work of the community, fulfilling community needs rather than community wants or other, marketplace necessities. That's kind of where we're at with the notion of cultural placemaking.
Well, I remember hearing you talk about it to another person. You were talking about cultural placemaking as actually documenting the character of a community. And in comparison, if one were to mention or ever visit Austin, it has a certain feel or a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco has a feel or a vibe that's unique to it. And it's not just what's happening currently. It's its history, its landmarks, that's its right. landscapes. And it seems that, I mean, you're, if any arts organization, choir, theater, ballet company needs a puppet, they go to you.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, you're the puppet maker. Right. But at the same time, your work is not just for hire. You're actually researching the history of our community and working collaboratively with so many artists. And it just seems like that kind of work is also a signature definition of cultural placemaking, as I've heard you describe it.
Yeah, it's about taking the assets of a place and honoring them, raising them, celebrating them, making works on those on the history of a place, making programs on the demographics of a place, the diversity of a place. It's to pull all these things up, and when you do that, you begin to define what the place is as a destination. And I think that of all things, that is incredibly valuable. That plays into real estate, and it plays into attracting people to a really amazing place. And the central piece of that, and the one that's missed so often, is that we have the possibility of either bringing in artists to simply entertain us, or grow our own artists to nurture and raise our own arts community. And when you do that, that also greatly creates this unique destination. So that's what cultural placemaking really is all about.
It's almost as if you're saying that, you know, a lot of the venues bring in road shows, if you would. And it's difficult to balance a relationship with artists that come in for a sound check, do the performance, maybe do a meet and greet afterward. And so I'm going to turn it back to Era for a bit. You're developing relationships not only with each other in the production and with your audience, but with other arts organizations too. How challenging would that be if you didn't live here?
Now, let me ask you what you meant by that.
Well, when we're, yeah.
Yeah, because I think one of the biggest challenges I found at the Ice House is making relationships with the other arts groups.
Yeah.
We're not accustomed to doing that in this region, from my experience. There's a lot of competition for space, for audience, for funding. And so now we're all in one place. Now we're all really, we're only going to succeed if we support each other there. And I think personally, from what I've seen, that's one of the most challenging parts about this whole venture, mm-hmm. is to try to get the arts groups to care enough about each other to support each other. Because then I think it will really, really work. Mm. But I'm not sure it will work without that.
Yeah. No, that's basic to the whole thing.
Yeah. But it's also building, I mean, there are other programs of this collaboration under the umbrella of the Eastern Pennsylvania Arts Alliance, mm-hmm. where some of these artists are working in the schools, developing relationships with teachers, you know, working with other nonprofit art cultural organizations, whether it's Bradbury Sullivan or Turning Point. You know, these artists are supporting these groups, whether they're topical or fundamental in their fundraisers. That would be really challenging for anybody who really doesn't live here as an artist, right?
It definitely, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's really what I was getting to.
Okay.
But you are right, Era. This is a collaboration within the space where artists have to start playing nice.
Yeah.
With scheduling and information sharing.
Doug and I joke about this a lot. Maybe I joke more than Doug does, but you know, add our ages together, we go back to the Revolutionary War. I mean, we need younger blood there. I mean, we have the energy and we're still doing it, but we really do need to get the generations younger than us to join in.
And how could a listener do that? I mean, we've got just a couple minutes to wrap up. If anyone's listening and they want to learn more, let's throw out a couple of websites here. So, Era, for Karate Kitchen Players, where can people find out more about your theater group?
CKPlayers.com.
CKPlayers.com. And for the Ice House tonight, you can find us on Facebook, I think.
And the Ice House tonight has a website as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But No, it's Facebook now. Ice House website is still under development. But this cultural placemaking website, what's that going
to
be?
That's still almost ready to be launched. So we're not doing that quite yet. Probably in the next 3 months, we'll be making it known throughout the valley. That's where we're at now. We're still in a pre-launch stage for that.
And the website's going to feature lots of interviews with some of the founding members.
It'll be centered on best practices in cultural placemaking. Mm-hmm. It'll be centered on this whole business of how we should be working together or could be working together, and how we make use of our own community assets to create a place that's unique and exciting. Yeah.
And there's interviews with people that are also going to be housed there?
Oh, yeah. It's full of interviews and that sort of thing. And the last thing I just note is that it's not just about artists. It's also about it's small arts and small business. And that's a huge factor in all of this.
Great. Well, I'm glad that we were able to tip off our listeners and give them a preview of what's to come and get them excited to stay tuned. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Sheila White. Thanking Doug Royston and Ara Barlieb for joining us. Have a great evening.